In our third part, we're going to be looking at the letter, first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. It's short. It's Paul trying to comfort the Thessalonians, who were among the first people ever preached to, and are expecting the Lord to come back any day, end the whole thing, and take them to heaven. And then some people die. Well, what's going to happen to them? They're dead now, you see? And so Paul, the mystic, instructed by God, explains to them what's going to happen. And that's what this text is all about, you see? And he calls it the coming of the Lord to end history. He calls it the day of the Lord. You see? Yom Adonai. It's a very famous biblical designation. It's a moment of crucial action on the part of God. And with the prophets, for instance, I think it's Amos, says, you're expecting the day of the Lord to come, and God will beat up all your enemies and make you the big shot of the world. When he comes, you're his first enemy. You're more disobedient than the rest of the world put together, because he's talking to you. Christians, do you hear it? He's talking to us. We have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. It'll go easier for the Chinese communists than it will for us. Unless we obey him and love him and act like wise people and go to work. Okay. So, concerning times and seasons, brothers and sisters, you have no need for anything to be written to you. Then you just go ahead and write. That's polite. You don't really need this. You know it. That's what he's saying. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief at night. Who invented that image? Jesus. Don't you remember? In the eschatological discourse, if the owner of the house knew at what time the thief were coming, he'd stay awake. He wouldn't let him break into his house. So you've got to stay awake. And our Lord, continually, and you find that in the Gospels, usually toward the end of each Gospel, at least the Synoptics, getting ready for the eschatological discourse, and then the Passion narrative and resurrection. All of that starts to happen close to our time here. We're in the 33rd Sunday. Pretty soon we'll be Christ the King. And then the end of the portrayal of the history of the world. The day of the Lord, the Yom Adonai, comes. Everything's over. Now, that's what he's saying here, you see. You know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief at night. So he picks up our Lord's image. Interesting, isn't it? When you say, well, how much of the gospel tradition did Paul know? He knew a lot. He knew a lot. And he knew it in oral tradition because his letters are written probably before any of the gospels achieved their final written form. So, like a thief in the night. When people are saying, peace and security, then sudden disaster comes upon them like the labor pangs upon a pregnant woman. Now that image, as you know, is prophetic, right? You see it in Jeremiah, you see it in Isaiah. Why is it a valid image? Well, you see, it's a valid image because a woman can't say, well, I think I'm going to have labor pangs in 5 minutes. They just come. Now, she gets used to the rhythm a little bit, but they just come and labor pains. You're going to have your baby this afternoon, ready or not. You know, you may remember now a few months ago, at least those of us on the East Coast, we had an earthquake. How many people were sitting around waiting for the earthquake? Nobody. Nobody expected an earthquake. It came like a thief in the night. That's what our Lord's telling us. I'm going to come like an unexpected earthquake, or like a thief in the night. Unless you're alert and thinking hard and praying hard, and unless you're imitating all these examples of wisdom we just looked at, you're going to lose out. Especially if you got to get to confession. Don't wait for the next earthquake. Go. See? And so, sudden disaster comes like labor pains. See, so it's like a thief. It's like labor pains. How good our Lord is to us. Give us all these vivid images to wake us up. We keep saying, oh, he's not going to come for a long time. Coming is a relative term. Even the term, the famous term, eschatological, comes from eschaton, which doesn't only mean last, it means ultimate. We can live through an ultimate moment, but all the factors that make this day of the Lord are present. But it's not the end of the world. But it's eschatological. That we will see, I hope, down the road, when we look at the agony in the garden. That was an eschatological moment. The history of the world hung on that decision. And the leaders of the church, they're all sound asleep. Sad commentary on us today. Peter, James, and John, they were dumb. Yeah, and we're so smart. How are we reading the signs of the times? Are we? You see? And so he's saying, you see, the day of the Lord will come like that. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, for that day to overtake you like a thief. And we have the thief image again. For all of you are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us stay alert and sober. That's like the woman in Proverbs, huh? Awake, interested, moving, wise, not stuck in front of the TV, not spending all the time finding out how your finances are doing, and not just spending all your time eating out, drinking whiskey. Once in a while, that's fine. But is your life consumed by making money, being popular, having power, or worse? Is your life consumed with doing dope, having sexual relations with people who are not your spouse? You're living a life in the night. And the thief will come in the night and catch you totally unaware. For those of us on the East Coast, that earthquake was a great example. I kept thinking about it. I was just sitting. All of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. And I wasn't waiting for an earthquake. Well, that's fair enough, because we don't have a lot of them on the East Coast. But if I'm not waiting for the Lord, that's not fair enough. So to wait for the Lord mean I sit around and twiddle my thumbs? There is a part in Thessalonians where... Some of these people say, oh, the Lord's coming back. You just, you know, lend me $20, I'll go get supper. I mean, you're not going to need it. The Lord's coming back anyway, you see? Remember that part in Thessalonians? And he says, everybody work with their own hands. You see? Be busy, don't be busybodies, they translate it. Going around, bumming from this one, bumming from that one, chatting all day, you know? No! Don't you want to be ready? Not only just for survival, but to welcome. Suppose your favorite person in the world were coming to your house. Wouldn't you get the house ready? Wouldn't you want to open the door and say, come in! The whole house is ready. I got a meal ready for you. Doesn't our Lord use that? He says in the book of Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens, you got to open. I'll come in, and I'll sup with him, and he with me. I'll come. Now, he could knock at the door today, not to end the world, or even to end your world, but to come and sup with you, chat with you, be with you. But if you're so worried about the stock market and the football scores, and I don't know what, you may not hear the knock. He might not lock, boom, boom, boom. He might lock just. And if you're alert, if you're paying attention to the right things, you'll be set. And if you're not, you won't. And so we have this Paul taking the example from our Lord's words, you see. Don't let that day, overtake you like a thief. For you are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as the rest do, but stay awake and sober. That's Grigoromen ke nifomen. Grigoromen comes from the word to be alert, to watch. You know the famous line in the Agony of the Garden, watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. Gregorite ke prosepkeste. Watch. Here we are in this 33rd Sunday. The whole church is showing us, look, we've lived through another year liturgically, which traces the history of the world, getting ready for Christ, Christ coming, Christ's death and resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit, then life in the Holy Spirit, then Christ the King. That's the liturgical year. That's what I mean by saying, now, you see, the church is not in time. Time is in the church. And so here we have this example. Don't let it happen. Stay alert. How do we stay alert? Tons of ways. One way is to beg the Holy Spirit to keep talking to you and obey Him. I think I've given you this example before. The Holy Spirit is like a baseball coach. So He's standing out there near home plate, and He's knocking out grounders, you see? And He's watching to see who picks them up, how they can get the ball to first, and all the rest, you see? But He's hitting all these grounders. Well, our Lord does that. He probably knocks out 200 grounders to us a day. We see about 40 of them. And we feel about, if we're lucky, 20 of them. You'd think you'd get discouraged, wouldn't you? But if we keep praying and stay alert, pretty soon we're hearing Him more and more. And that's what it means to be alert. It means to keep watch. It's the word used about shepherds who stay awake at night, making sure the flock is okay. The very thing, of course, that the leaders of the church didn't do, our Lord went back to them and said, Peter, you're sound asleep. Couldn't you watch 1 hour with me? And you know what he just went through. He was sweating blood. And the leaders, sound asleep. No consolation, no help. And Mark especially says, he began to be like disoriented almost and filled with awe. And he said, Father, if there's any way. And he goes back then, I take it, I agree. He goes back to his friends, the leaders, and they're all sound asleep. They couldn't even pray with him to support him. He's all alone in this moment. So he's saying to us, don't leave me alone. Stay awake. Let my spirit keep you in my church's heart, so you see what's going on and know what to do about it for yourselves, your family, your neighbors. Stay awake. And that's the second one, sober. You know, don't get drunk, but don't even get drunk on NFL, glued to the set like a robot. Nothing wrong with the NFL, but we get so that we lose our sense of what life is all about. It was years ago when the Lord said to me, I was going to turn on the radio. He said, don't do that. Just pray all the way down. I was going from here down to the university, or the house of studies. And He just said, don't do that. Pray. And I've done that from that day to this. Awake. Okay.